It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
All right, so we just talked about TV shows. Mm-hmm. Now let's get into some movies that you would recommend, or what movies that helped you.
To be honest, movies were also like very instrumental in my journey. So what made it to my number one movie list? This one is called Saving Face, 2004. And one interesting thing about it is one of the producers is Will Smith. I was actually surprised that he was one of the producers. But what I loved most about this movie is it's a movie that focuses on POC people. And like, it was difficult for me to find content that wasn't white. But this movie is specifically Asians. And I love so much. In fact, it's I think they're Chinese. So it's a gay Chinese American and her traditional mother who are reluctant to go public with their secret love because it will clash against their traditional beliefs. So she's gay, and then her mother, and I'm not going to give too many spoiler alerts. So the mother has like this, falls in love with someone that I think, I won't say what, but society does not deem acceptable, especially the Chinese society. So for me, I really, really love that story because these are Chinese people that we're seeing on screen and they're gay and exploring their, she's exploring her gay life and falling in love with another woman. It's really, there are actually very many themes that this movie explores because on one side, it's exploring the love of two gay women or two queer women. And then on the other side, it's exploring a mother who's falling in love with someone else that's actually not the father of her child. So it's very interesting to see. So the main characters are Lin Chen, who's acting as Vivian Sling, and then we have Michelle acting as Will, and then we have Joan Chen, who's acting as, I'm not sure I can pronounce this, but I'll try, Wei Lan. I could be wrong. There are questions like about the age gap, the love, the age gap when it comes to love. And I don't know, I don't have so many thoughts about this. I think in my opinion, love is love. You know, people can be, have 10 years apart.
Yeah.
20 years apart. I don't know. I think love is love. But what I can say though is I would question if I found a 20-year-old person in love with a 40-year-old person, because I think at 20 someone is still developing. But if I find someone that's 30 in love with someone that's 50, I feel like that love can go. But anyway, this movie is great. Queer love, there's no trauma involved, and it's just a good love story and a good story whereby there that you see the girl falling in love, but you also see the mom falling in love and two different generations navigating love. So I really love this story. I would recommend, look for it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was really
I watched
good
that one with my mom.
Oh, you did? Yeah. What did your mom think?
Yeah, I think she thought it was good.
It's a good story. Really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about you, Jenny? What kind of movies made it to your
this
top
movie I want to highlight because, and it's a recent movie. It's Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you have not seen it, just stop this podcast. Go watch it now.
I haven't, but I'm definitely going to stop this podcast and go watch it now. Oh, no, I'm joking.
No, you should. It's so well done. It's directed by the Daniels. Both of the directors' names are Daniel. Michelle Yeoh's in it. And in the film, Michelle Yeoh's character is a Chinese-American laundromat owner. And she has a hard time accepting the fact that her daughter, Joy, who's played by Stephanie Hsu, she is brilliant in the film. But so it's about Michelle Yeoh's character having a hard time accepting that her daughter is a lesbian. And it's cool because this movie goes through like, oh, OK, it's like a multiverse movie.
Oh,
so there's a lot of action. There's a lot of like just stuff going on. There's just a lot. Just like the title, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Everything's going on in these like multiverses. But the themes throughout it is centered around like accepting acceptance, and it's so powerful, and I think I relate so much with like their family and with Joy.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why do you relate so much with their family?
Like, because in what sense? She's an Asian American, and then there's so much shame around. So Michelle Yeoh's character, which is the mom, she like pretends to be okay with Joy's girlfriend because she meets her girlfriend. But she prevents her from meeting the family patriarch, which is her father and Joy's grandpa.
Oh.
So she still keeps that information from him because there's shame around that.
Yeah, I can see why representation is important.
Yeah. So then, and what was so great about this was, I was reading that in an interview, the directors explained that they refused to budge when it came to international distribution and the possibility of removing Joy's sexuality from the movie. So they said that her sexuality stays, even if it meant that it wouldn't be able to get distribution in China, because
that's powerful.
There's censorship laws with like homosexuality, rebellion, and more. You know, and the directors like would not budge on that.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. I'm like taking away and interrupting and, you know, taking a little bit away from what we're talking about, which is movies. But I don't know why people just don't want to see gay, queer people represented, because the truth is these people have been here for years and for centuries. Yeah. But anyway, back to movies.
Yeah. And I'm just going to keep talking about this movie because I think it's so powerful. But yeah, it's really like this film is really like a celebration of like queer identities that's in Joy's story. And one of the directors was saying, like, explaining that the movie just doesn't work without that identity part. Mm-hmm. And Joy's sexuality is important to the plot. And it's a vital piece of like representation. Yeah, and then the actress, Stephanie Hsu, she says that it, like, queerness exists in the texture of this movie. And yeah, I think the character that she plays, she plays like the character in different universes. It sounds so wild, but it's really cool. But it's just a young queer Asian woman struggling for acceptance, not just tolerance, from her family. That's essentially like the theme of that. And there are other themes too that show up, but that was the theme that I really related with, and the relationship with her mother. And because I'm so close with my mom, even letting her know that I like a girl, that was hard for her to accept. And it's still like something that we're working on, you know, but she's so supportive and so accepting, but it was really hard for her to grapple with or understand, you know. And then, and I'll like explain later too, but I think that movie showing that relationship of the mother and daughter just hit home.
You know, Jenny, I'm definitely going to watch that movie, because you caught me at that point where you said the character was struggling for acceptance and not just tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us, that's a struggle. Like, sometimes someone will say, hey, I like you as you are, but then they're more like, you can make your choices, that's up to you. And I feel like someone saying such a statement is just tolerance.
Yeah,
they're not taking the whole of me as I am. And I think I'm going to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I'm watching that movie just because of that statement, because I like to see that on screen.
Yes.
That's deep, man.
Yeah, it's a really great film.
All right. So my other one, and this movie, I will say I've watched this movie maybe 6 times.
Whoa.
And I could watch it again tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. I like it that
movie?
Much. It's very old. It's Elena Undone.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, a 2010 movie. It's my absolute favorite love story.
Oh. What makes it your favorite love story?
So there's actually, just like, you know, you were talking about multiverse and the different themes that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
what is it? Everywhere.
Everything, Everywhere, All at once.
Yeah. So this movie, Elena Andan, also has so many layers to it and so many themes going on. So the main two protagonists are, wow, and I hope I can pronounce this right. I think it's Nika Zadigan, who's acting as Elena. And then there's Tracy Dinwiddie, who's acting as Peyton. Now, the most amazing thing about Tracy is she's actually lesbian in real life, or she's a queer woman in real life. And so I always like when these characters act who they are. It's just brilliant. What makes this movie my absolute favorite movie and why I watch it over and over again is, one, there is the theme of Christianity, right? And I think at some point, especially in the U.S., when the gay movement was fighting for rights, like especially the marriage rights, a lot of the people who were tearing this down were Christians. I mean, yeah, sorry, Christians, but yeah, you are tearing down this movement. And so in here we see a woman who's married to a pastor and they have a son, and she falls in love with a woman. And there's just all those layers, like this pastor is just so homophobic, always preaching against you know, homosexuality and every other thing that they preach about. And then this wife, who's even not aware that she was gay, falls in love with a gay woman. And then she has to navigate all of that. It was a very, it's a very beautiful story, because it's pretty much what happens. I think many of the queer people that I know, maybe I shouldn't say many, maybe I should say a number of the queer people that I know are actually pastor's kids. They're actually pastor's kids, or kids that were raised in very religious communities. So it's very, so I see these themes like showing up in the movie. And then also in that movie, there's a theme of, like, this woman ends up having a baby, but through insemination, not necessarily, like, through a donor, like a sperm donor, and not necessarily because they were sick. So I like to see that representation, because the truth is, science has been beautiful to humankind, because for a long time, people that couldn't have babies didn't really have babies, or people that lost their husbands before they could have a baby didn't have babies. But now there's an opportunity for people to have babies outside of, like, you know, marriage. And I think that's very beautiful, especially if someone desires to be a parent. So those themes. And then there's, you know, a church member crushing on a pastor, you know, those kinds of things happening. But the most important part of the love story is to see that chemistry between Elena and Peyton. It just transports me to, like, romance land. But so Elena is a photographer in the movie, and Peyton is just this gay lesbian that's a writer. But the chemistry is very beautiful between the two of them. The story is beautiful. There's some cheesiness to it, just like love stories are very cheesy, but I will watch this story over and over again because there's so many layers and it just doesn't get boring for me. So yeah, my number two, Elena Andan. Please watch it, Jenny.
Nice.
And watch it, everyone listening.
Continuing to add on my list.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now, getting you to watch. Actually, you know that, like, interesting, but the more we watch some of these new queer shows and new queer movies, the more they make them. So we should keep watching. So people out there, please watch and give them good ratings.
And more people will watch. I feel like, because, like you said, I think there is representation out there, but we still need more. I think a lot of people have the same sentiment. So when it comes out, I'll watch YouTube videos on what shows that are coming out with queer characters.
Same.
I'll see what's out there, because I'm like either really good. I'm really good at binge watching, because I will just sit down and, like, watch it in one sitting. But I can have a lot of time in between, like, watching things, because sometimes my life will just get a little busy and I'm not at home often. So that's why there's always, like, a list that I need to catch up on, But sometimes I'll just watch YouTube videos about, okay, what shows and what movies am I missing out on? And I'll put that on my list to go binge watch.
Yeah. I actually prefer to binge watch. I don't think I can do this thing that people do where you wait for an episode per week.
It's really
I don't
hard
have that time. Yeah, because imagine you have like a full day, you come back from work.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to sit down and try and watch episode after episode. But I like when I have downtime. Like last year, Christmas season, it was raining. I was inside.
I love the holiday season where you can just binge watch movies and shows, and it's you're like cuddling up in a blanket with some hot cocoa or cocoa and Bailey's. I don't know, whatever you whatever you want, some tea. Yeah, I love that season.
Same. Well, I think it's also called the coughing season. Some of us are not coughed, but it's still a good season to binge watch.
It's a good season. You can just cuddle up with your blanket on your own. You know, that's what I do.
And your pillow.
And my pillow. And
please
our
don't
dog,
laugh at us.
My dog.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So what other movie made it onto your list, Jenny?
Yeah. So I will. I do have like two other movies, but I do want to point to documentaries and some of the documentaries that I watched. In 2020, there's a documentary called Disclosure, Trans Lives on Screen. I think this is on Netflix. It came out in 2020, and it is made by a largely trans crew.
Amazing.
Which is really cool. Laverne Cox is an executive producer. Sam Fetter is the director. And the film... I'm just going to read like a synopsis. It follows an in-depth look at Hollywood's depiction of transgender people and the impact of their stories on transgender lives in transgender lives and American culture. So this film or this documentary was so powerful to watch because they go through the history. They have voices of the community speaking. I mean, it's made by a trans crew, you know, and I think it's just, I think that's where I lack most education, maybe about the trans community. Mm-hmm. And so in 2020, when I was just discovering a lot, I was researching a lot. This was one of the documentaries that showed up. So I watched that and it's just so well done. Another documentary is the Pride documentary on FX. That's a 6-part documentary series chronicling the struggle for LGBTQ plus civil rights in America from the 50s through the 2000s. Mm-hmm. That one is really well done. And it's told by 7 LGBTQ plus directors.
Oh, so wow.
So that one's really good.
Real life people telling these stories. Mm-hmm. There's always a nuance when a real life, like someone that has experienced something in real life, tells that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's told through that lens. And then the last documentary I'm going to point to is Paris is Burning. This is, remember when we were out for Pride and they were showing it in the Long Beach Bar.
Pride. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the documentary that they were showing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a film that's, let me say that over. It was filmed in the mid to late 1980s, and it chronicles the ball culture of New York City and the African-American, Latino, gay, and transgender communities involved in it. So that one
like,
is very powerful.
We like POC representation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those three documentaries I would highly recommend, you know, as an ally, as a queer person, just anyone, just to know a little bit more and learn a little bit more about the history.
Yeah, Jenny is pretty good with this. It's not easy for me to watch documentaries around LGBT issues, also documentaries around Black history, Black injustice, slavery, mainly because I really get triggered. I will get into my emotions, cry, and get stressed out. So I haven't. Jenny has. As like, you know, recommended this before, but I am yet to watch them. I need to prepare. I will one day, but And it's not easy for me.
You don't need to watch it, you know?
Oh, good. I don't
need you don't need to watch it.
I don't need that pressure on myself.
I think I love documentaries so much. I love learning about a lot of, I just like learning. Mm. And these documentaries are really well done. And also I work for a nonprofit that creates documentary films too. So I think these were some of the ones that I had recommended for my work and my colleagues.
Yeah.
So
documentaries are really actually a good watch because this is real life. Mm-hmm. I know we like TV shows and we like movies, which are a great escape.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. But also documentaries, I think, add a certain factual visual aid to what exactly is going on in our society. Yeah. And I think they're great to add to people's watch lists.
Yeah.
It gives you that what exactly is happening on ground and like what people are experiencing and gives you history, like factual historical facts. So
yeah
definitely recommend documentaries or docuseries.
Yes. Okay, and what about you?
So I don't do docuseries. I don't do documentaries, especially around trauma. It affects me. But my last movie, which I would recommend to watch, is Single All the Way. it's still new. Netflix. It's amazing. I do not know why I like to go amazing on every... and I think all the movies I've chosen are probably love stories. Yes. As you can hear, this is
we
lovely...
We love our rom-coms.
Oh,
rom-coms.
It's a lovely Christmas rom-com. It's the kind where you can watch actually as a family. So Michael Urie, who acts as Peter, and Philemon Chambers acts as Nick, they're best friends. It's an interracial couple. The family sees... You know, they do act as best friends, but they're actually in love with each other. And so the family is doing all this matchmaking. And then eventually they discover that they're in love with each other. It's just a nice Christmas time movie or a nice holiday movie to watch if you want to escape and enjoy love stories like I do. And also, like we mentioned before, good thing about it, it does not focus on the trauma. It just focuses on gay people accepted by the family doing life.
Mm.
One other good thing about it, Michael is gay in real life. And then imagine the beautiful thing about... And now, this is why representation is amazing. Philemon says that this movie, actually acting in this movie, gave him the final push to fully come out. Isn't that beautiful? Just acting in the movie. So he's recently out. I think, isn't Single All the Way from just last year?
I think it came out last year.
Yeah. So he just gave him the push to come out in real life, and he's a black guy.
Wait, that's so cool.
Very cool, isn't it? So that is why we need representation.
Okay, I need to watch that too. I have not seen that.
It's a beautiful movie.
And I love me some holiday rom-coms.
Oh, yes. Let me see. Do I have any honorable mentions? Shout out. Tell It to the Bees. Shout out. That movie is great. Beauty. Beauty is, a black queer story on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. But be emotionally ready, because I think it highlights some themes that, you know, black people... So there's a lot of homophobia in black spaces. And so I think it highlights some of those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And another honorable mention is Disobedience.
Nice.
Do you have any those other movies for us?
I do. I'm just going to mention two more. And this is so interesting because I'm mentioning this movie. It's called Someone Great. It's... Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
I'm so down to watch it again.
Let me write it.
It's so fun. But this came out in 2019. And this movie put Lizzo on the map because her Truth Hurts song was like on the soundtrack. And I think it really propelled like her popularity during that time.
We love Lizzo.
Oh, I love Lizzo. So in 2019, I was going through a really hard time, and I don't know why, but this movie really helped me. Maybe because the main character, Gina Rodriguez, her name is also Jenny, but in the movie, she's like going through a breakup, And she has her two friends, DeWanda Wise and Brittany Snow, who are like trying to go out with her and get her out of that funk. But I guess it had been a long time since I had seen a movie like that where it's just your girlfriends hanging out. And it just seems so relevant. And the characters are so funny. And DeWanda Wise plays a queer character. Oh. And she, at the time I wasn't out yet, or I wasn't coming into my identity, but I remember like noticing her character, maybe because I hadn't seen a lot of movies with queer representation, and it wasn't about her coming out. It was like, no, she's queer. She's, you know, struggling with like committing with her current partner. But it just seemed so new to me, I guess, to see like a queer woman of color character. And I'm trying to think back to see if I have seen a movie. Oh, I saw, well, Moonlight, right? Two black men and queerness. Have you seen Moonlight?
I think I have. I need to remember. I think, no, maybe I haven't.
Yeah, the one that won the Oscars?
Yeah, no, I don't think I have.
Yeah.
I should watch it. Does it highlight any trauma? Because usually I avoid the ones that highlight trauma. It could
highlight some trauma.
I think that's why.
Yeah. But okay, so this one's really fun. And DeWanda Wise as a character, she is so funny. I loved her. And I loved all three of them in it. But in 2019, I don't know why I noticed her character. Mm. And maybe because I don't see a lot of women of color or queer women of color in the movies that I'm watching or shows that I'm watching. So I was looking into her a little bit more because I wanted to know if she was queer, and she is not. But she is drawn to playing queer black women because there's a lack of visibility, and she believes in the importance of LGBTQ plus representation in like big blockbusters and any shows or movies.
Snap, snap.
So she's actually in Jurassic World Dominion, the one that just came out in the trilogy. And she's the first openly LGBTQ plus character in the trilogy of Jurassic Park.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I'm
even though
watch
she's
it.
Not queer in real life, that representation in a big blockbuster is so big.
Can I tell you a joke?
Yeah.
So there's this joke. I mean, it's more like a stereotype. There's so many people that were super allies when they were younger, like super, super LGBT allies. Only to realize later on that they were actually gay.
Are you saying that she's queer?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying there's that stereotype.
She could be. I think she's married.
We don't know. I mean,
you never know.
I think there's so many of our parents who are actually queer, but they're married in straight relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
So many. Yeah. Because they just didn't have that opportunity to explore. It just wasn't even a liberty. Or even a thought that they could ever explore that. But
you never know. Yeah, so that movie was... I just wanted to mention that because it was something that I did notice in 2019, which was before when I really like came into myself. And then one more movie. I know there are so many people who don't want to talk about this movie, especially people of color. Happiest Season. It's the one with Kristen Stewart, Mackenzie Davis, and Aubrey Plaza. Very white. But I wanted to mention this movie because this was the first movie that I watched with my mom. And it was really hard for me because this was like the first time I was visiting her since I had told her. I only visit her during the holiday season. So this came out during the holiday season. And I was just like, my mom and I love watching rom-coms. And when I visit her, every night we're just like watching any rom-coms that are on. And this is the first like mainstream rom-com with a lesbian couple that I like knew of at the time. And it was new. You know, my mom likes watching new movies. And it was just nice to like show her this movie. And we watched it. And then we talked about it afterwards. And she just understood. I think she was just saying like, that's all that matters is love. Because the family in there was... I think acceptance was one of the themes. And yeah, I think my mom was just saying like, that's all that matters. It's love for your family. It's love for your daughter, whoever they choose, or yeah, not just tolerance, like we were saying earlier, but really accepting who they are as people. 100. Yeah, and I think that's why I want to mention it. But I do know that there are, you know, people who don't want to talk about that movie.
I actually because it's like very that. White. I do like that movie.
I like it too.
I like that movie. I think, like, you know what you said, it's one of those Christmas love stories that came out around about the time that we were coming into our identity. Yeah. I like to watch it. I mean, there are some themes highlighted in there that I was like, oh, is this necessary? Like the fact that she put her through a lot.
Put her through a lot. I did not like that.
Had her engagement ring.
I didn't like that.
But that was
and the way that she was like acting that. With her like ex-boyfriend. Yeah. I was like, it feels so off to me. But I mean, that's probably like someone's lived experiences as they're, you know, coming into themselves. And they've only like dated men previously. I was thinking about that myself too. And I was like, if I was toxic, would I be that way? Or like, you know?
Yeah, just know I will leave you. Okay, I don't mean like you, Jenny, but I, like, she put up with a lot.
Yeah, I did not like that part of it.
And I have my engagement ring, I am gone. Totally gone. But it's a good movie. I loved it. I think
it came out around the time that we both came out. So yeah. I think that's why it was so prevalent in our journey.
Around about that time. It's a good movie. Watch it. And you can have your own opinion. It's okay. We can all have different opinions about the movie. But it's a good attempt at representation.
Yeah.
Mainstream, you know, Christmas movie.
Mainstream Christmas movie. We still need more people of color.
Agreed.
But that came out during our time when we were coming out. And I think, that holds a place in my heart because that was the first movie that my mom watched with a lesbian, like, lead couple.
Agreed. You know, one thing I like about when you share your life, you watch rom-coms with your mom. That's amazing.
We I don't think I've ever watched rom-coms.
So cool. Yeah. I don't think I've ever watched a rom-com with any of my parents. My mom is not here anymore. Rest in peace. But I don't even think she watched rom-coms at all. That would be so great. Imagine I would be bonding with my parents watching a rom-com. Amazing. But yeah.
Okay, well, we talked a lot about different TV shows and movies. Do you have a Queerly Noted for us?
I know we talked a lot. I definitely have a Queerly Noted. And this is really for me. It's also for people out there, but it's really for me. One of the things that stood out to me when you were recommending the different movies and, you know, what the character told you, and we've talked about this theme all throughout, is tolerance versus acceptance. And this is for all of us, and this and right now I'm talking to myself. I think there are many times we think we're being nice, or we think we're being inclusive, but we're actually just tolerating people and not taking who, like, the whole spectrum of who they are. That's who you are, and I love you regardless of who you are, or I accept you and bring you in regardless of who you are. And that is something that has stayed with me tonight or today, because it's also a practice that I need to bring into my life. Even if we both are on the minority of things, we're people of color, we are queer women, so we're really navigating a lot. But outside of that, I think acceptance rather than tolerance is the way to go.
Yeah.
Really is the way to go. That's my Queerly Noted.
That's great. I think, I agree with you. When I read that, I was like, it made me think. And it made me think, wow, there is a difference between tolerance and acceptance. And then there's also a difference between acceptance and embracing. And I think that it made me embrace more of, I think, like, listening to us talk and going through our lists. And this is something that I have been doing recently, is looking up the characters to see if they really are queer in real life. I think that's a big part for me too. And I'm not going to like cancel you or not watch it if they're not queer, because any representation I think is great. But I think I definitely want to continue being mindful of making sure I support TV shows and movies with that representation that I want to see. Yeah, like you said, if we don't watch or support, then those films aren't going to be made. So yeah, I think I just need to do more of that, you know, and just being really mindful of seeking out shows or movies with queer women of color and seeing, no, I'm just going to leave it at that. Just seeking out more TV shows and movies with women, queer women of color.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And even queer people of color who are writers.
Yes.
Like
writers, yeah, directors,
yeah,
producers, just right, the film crew.
The film crew, because mm-hmm, that also plays a big role.
Yeah.
Touche. Yeah. I love that. Anyway, it's been amazing going down the memory lane of movies.
I love TV shows and movies, so I'm really glad that we got to do this.
Yes.
In the beginning, Mary was like, I don't know, I don't want to talk about pop culture, or I don't know how to talk about pop culture, but you know so much and you watch so many TV shows and so many movies.
I must admit I do. I think for me it's more of like escape. Mm-hmm. It's a good escape. But it's been amazing.
Yeah, it's been awesome. If you haven't heard of any of these shows or movies, check it out. You know, if you're an ally, I think it's cool to watch something that is representative of another community, maybe not of your own, just to have that normalized in your life so that it doesn't shock you when you see a couple in real life. You know, I think that helps too. Maybe for me, talking to my ally friends. So I know that a lot of people are like, some people are used to it, mm-hmm, but I still see that a lot of people aren't used to seeing that.
A lot of people are not.
Yeah.
That's very true. And also, please, do send us your recommendations. We're always happy to get our lists longer. As you can see, we're both compiling to watch lists. So it's been amazing. Yeah. We'll be back. So take care.
See you next time.
Yeah. We love you.
Love y'all.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY.
Love y'all.